Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 59, Isaiah chapter 59, and we're going to start at verse 16 tonight. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 16. Now, lest you all think that I'm just preaching from Isaiah here recently for a particular reason, that's not it. Amen. Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah 59 and verse 16. And he saw that there was no man. Everybody said no man. And wondered that there was no intercessor. Everybody said no intercessor. You know what that tells us? That man's inability, it tells us of man's inability and failure to do the work of God. Amen. To do what needs to be done on our own. Talking about on our own tonight. Therefore, or because of this, his arm, God's arm, brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. So when we put our hope and our trust and our confidence in the Lord tonight, then there's not going to be failure and there's not going to be inability. Amen. Power, strength, and victory. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries. Amen. Somebody already said tonight some things along this line. When the devil comes along, just tell him I've been delivered. Amen. And this tells us of God's ability against his enemies. His enemies are not people, they are spirits. Amen. And spirits control people sometimes. And so he said, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, doesn't that happen every now and then? The enemy just comes in like a flood, just pours down, and all of a sudden there's flooding and all kinds of things. They're having warnings out in California that there's going to be this massive flooding and all this snow, and I say they deserve it. Amen. Let them have it. Praise God. Well, you know I'm kidding tonight. The Lord, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against it, or against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. So the Lord's going to come to his people. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Chapter 60 and verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Praise God. And if I could just make a summary of those verses, verse 59, 16 through chapter 60 and verse 1, if I could just sum all of that up tonight, I would say God is in control. God is in control. When the enemy comes, God is in control. When the rains are here, God is in control. When the adversary shows up his fury, God is in control. Amen. Not just in control, he's going to recompense to them. He's going to give them the punishment that they deserve. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You know why there's a hell? Because the devil deserves to go there. It's a recompense. Amen. It's a recompense. God's going to do it. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you right now for the word of God. We thank you for your presence tonight. anoint the word of God and speak to us. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Thank God. You know, it's really easy to see problems, and they're just all around us all the time. But it's easy to see our problems being bigger than what they really are. There is something about our perception as human beings that when things come along, we look at them in a bigger manner than probably we should in most cases and instances. Because we are flesh, we look at things that are seen, and sometimes we can become overwhelmed by the things that we look at and that we see. When we look at those things that are around us, we can touch it, we can feel it, we can see it, we can understand that it is there, and because of that, we look at it as reality. Amen. We look at it as something that is tangible, that we can hold on to, that gives us security, that gives us a sense of peace in our hearts. Amen. But if we are going to have victory, we cannot look just at the things of this life for security. And there are some things that give us security in this life in a certain measure, not in a great measure, but in a certain measure. There is only one thing that gives us security and understanding in what is really reality, and that is God. Amen. That is the Word of God tonight, because the Word of God supersedes our emotion. The Word of God goes higher than our feelings. Amen. The Word of God goes much higher than that which we see and that which we experience. Praise God. And the truth of the matter is tonight that time is really not a big deal to God. He made time come into existence in the beginning. The very word beginning denotes the starting of time. And before that, there was no time. And the wise men among us say that if there was no time, nothing could exist. But they don't understand that God exists outside of time. God exists outside of space and matter. Amen. God is bigger than anything that we see around us. Amen. And those of us that are not scientists, we're not rocket scientists. Amen. Maybe there's a rocket scientist among us. Maybe you're studying to be a rocket scientist. Don't ever get to the place where you look at the scientific discoveries and the things of this world and put your hope and your faith and your trust in that. Amen. And all scientists are people who have discovered what God already put into existence. Amen. Amen. I was looking at the Hubble Space Telescope site, and they've got about 9 hours. I'm not going through 9 hours, but I could if I had the time or I wanted to take the time. I could go through the 9 hours, one picture after another of a galaxy, of this, of that, of the other. And I'll tell you what, just a few of those, and you say, we serve a big God tonight. I serve a big God. He just spoke all that into existence by the word of God. Let there be. Amen. Three words, and it came into existence. But we have that tendency tonight when we look at the things that are around us. Amen. If we look at the word, everybody said the word. Amen. It is the word that gives us victory. It is the word of God that gives us stability. It is the word of God that gives us the foundation that we need in our lives. Amen. And nowhere in the word of God does it say that the enemy will be victorious over us. Not when we're serving God, not when we're living for God. But he did say that the enemy would come and come over us when we are not right with God. Psalm chapter 41 and verse 11, by this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. Praise God. That's enough to shout about right there. The word favor gives me comfort tonight. Amen. The word favor gives me a sense of security that nothing in this world can give me. Amen. There is nothing in this world that can give you the favor of God. It is an awesome thing. Amen. It is the canopy, if you please, a blessing that is over his people and shielding us from the storm that would destroy us. Praise God. And there is something that shows the favor of God to us. It's brought out in the book of Genesis, and it's talking about Adam and Eve, and I'm not going to turn and go through the verses tonight, but Adam and Eve sinned. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so when God saw them, or actually when they saw each other, they sewed fig leaves to cover themselves. And they tried to hide the sin that was in their lives, and ultimately God judged them for that. But God, in his mercy, killed an animal, or several animals probably. I believe they were sheep, and they possibly could have been lambs. Amen. And blood was shed by that which was innocent, that did not do any wrong, and God made coats of skins and covered them. Praise God. God was now going to protect them from the elements, because the elements were now going to become harsh. Amen. Now the elements around, just like Cain said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Amen. God will bring chastisement upon his people, but he always makes a covering. Praise God. And the covering is the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we are covered by his blood, when God looks at us, there is favor in his eyes. Amen. There is a smile upon his face. Don't ever forget that. Amen. Well, praise God. And Cain and Abel. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain and proved that he was righteous. He had faith in God's plan. He had faith in God's word. Amen. And it was because of the blood sacrifice, Leviticus 17:11. You can read that. You probably should know that one. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Praise God. There is something about the covering of the blood. And we are not covered tonight by the blood of bulls and goats. Amen. We are not covered by the blood of a lamb that is slain once every year. Thank God for that. Because it could not save, it could not deliver, it could not do anything according to the conscience. Amen. But what it did was showed us a more perfect way, where the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away. Amen. Doesn't roll them forward anymore, but he's going to take away the sins of the world. Amen. Yes, that's you, and that's other people in other nations, but that's for me as well. It's personal. Amen. It's for me, and it's for you. Somebody said amen. Amen. The only thing that's going to connect us with the Lord and the favor of God is the covering of the blood. Amen. It is the ultimate sign of God's favor upon us. Amen. And when God's favor is upon us, we have nothing to fear. Praise God. But we do have fear, don't we? We struggle with fear. Maybe there's some here tonight that are struggling with fear. Fear and doubt. And the fear and doubt is because we are looking at the things that are seen and not the things which are unseen. The things that are unseen are eternal, and the things which are seen are temporary. Praise God. This too shall pass, is the famous saying. Amen. And that's for people in the world. But it's not going to pass for people in the world. They're headed to a godless eternity without Him. Amen. But it does apply to the church. Amen. The former things are going to pass away. Amen. The former things have passed away when we gave our life to God. Amen. When Jesus comes back to this earth, amen, He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. The old things are going to pass away. It's not going to be here anymore. Your troubles are not going to be here anymore. Your debt is not going to be here anymore. Your sickness is not going to be here anymore. Praise God. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I drive around. I've got a lot of pictures of churches. I like to take pictures of churches. And you see some churches with a big golden cross in the front. And when I drive by, I say, compliments of Calvary. Amen. When I see the big buildings that are in our world and all of the things that man has accomplished, I say, compliments of Calvary. Amen. I see the large churches that are preaching false doctrine, and yet they're preaching the name of Jesus Christ in some measure or fashion, and I say, compliments of Calvary. If you're here tonight and you've got joy in your heart, it's compliments of Calvary. Praise the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're blessed, compliments of Calvary. Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter what you have, it doesn't matter who you are. I was talking to Brother Scott just yesterday, and they had a man pass away in the church, and instead of having services on Sunday and the funeral on Monday, they decided to have the funeral on Sunday, and that was their only church service, was a funeral. And some might say, well, that's silly, but this gentleman had been so faithful to the Lord, did not miss any services. And when he did miss a service, he would go to the pastor and say, I'm sorry I missed the service. I'm sorry I let you down. Amen. That's how he felt about it. That's the way it was. But he was not educated. He was not did not come across as anyone that was a go-getter or an achiever or any of that. He was kind of laid back and did not say, you know, he was not out in the front. He was kind of in the back, so to speak. So he passed away, and the world would say it was a wasted life. Amen. The world would say, why did you put all that hope and trust and confidence in something that is not real? Amen. But he had a grandson that was about 7 years old, and Brother Scott began to tell me, it really stirred my heart, because the very next day after his grandpa passed away, the little boy told someone, and maybe it was Brother Scott himself, he told him, he said, I had a dream the other night. And they said, oh, really, what did you dream? And he said, I dreamed that Grandpa went to heaven and he was walking on streets of gold. Amen. Praise God. And it was pancreatic cancer, but even through the ordeal, he never had any pain or suffering. Amen. And he said he's walking on streets of gold, and he said he wasn't hurting anymore, and he wasn't sick anymore. Praise God. Now, you can call that hocus pocus. You can call it whatever you want to call it. That's an old word. That's not for the millennials here. Amen. That means, never mind what it means. Praise God. It is real tonight. What we are feeling tonight is real. What we have experienced in the Lord is real. Don't ever let fear take you away from the reality of God. Amen. Don't ever let situations in this life turn you away from God. I feel the Lord here tonight. I'm telling you what, we need a word of encouragement every now and then. Amen. And I believe somebody needs a word of encouragement tonight. Hang in there. Don't give up. Praise God. Make a confession and a declaration. I'm covered by the blood. Did you hear that, devil? I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can look at me and accuse me, but when God looks at me, he smiles real big. Hallelujah. Somebody said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God tonight for the covering. Amen. The only thing that will connect us is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. That reminds me of the crossing of the children of Israel in the Red Sea. Amen. It reminds me, they said, they actually called it the flood. Amen. This was not Noah's flood, but this was a different kind of a flood. Amen. It was a flood. You say, well, how could it be a flood? It was a sea, and it's still there today. It is the Red Sea. But they called it the flood, and the reason is because God told Moses, stretch your rod out over the water. Amen. Somebody needs to just stretch your rod spiritually over the water. And make a declaration and say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the enemies that are against us, we will never see them again forever. God's going to take care of every one of them. There's not going to be one that's alive. They're all going to be dead and gone. Well, praise God. Praise God. Amen. We need to pick up the word of God and say, God is for me. Amen. It's written in this book, devil. God is for me. Amen. It's going to be all right. I'm going to be delivered. Amen. Because the word says so. Not because of circumstances, not because of situations, but because the word says so. And so he stretched the rod out over the water. Amen. By the command of God, he stretched the rod out over the water, and the waters were parted. And you know the Egyptians came in there, and when Moses stretched out his rod over the water, praise God, that rod was the rod of God. Amen. It was the very thing that God told him to use. And we have the rod of God tonight. And we need to hold it up high in the time of difficulty and the time of trouble. Praise God, because he will come in like a flood. Amen. And he did. When he stretched the rod out, the waters came over them like a flood. Like a flood that nobody's ever seen before. And it destroyed them. It destroyed their chariots and their horses and everything. It was completely annihilated at that point in time. Praise God. I say tonight, God is for me. Amen. I declare the word of God tonight that everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. Praise God. And it's a beautiful example of God's power and the power of the water to wash away. When the enemy comes in like a flood, they're coming through the Red Sea like a flood. There are millions of them, and they're flooding through. They're coming to get us. Amen. But the Bible says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, shall raise up a standard against him. One elder minister that preached for us on the East Coast, he says it this way. There's a comma there, I don't know if he was out of context, but it sounded good. Amen. It said, when the enemy shall come in, amen, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. That's got a whole different meaning. And then he used the other scripture that says that the Lord is riding upon the flood. Amen. That God is riding upon the top of the storm. Amen. He's not overcome by the storm. He's the maker of the storm. He's the maker of the flood. Praise God. He's above it. He's beyond it. He is bigger than it. Praise God. And if we can just understand that tonight, amen, because Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2 and 3, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Does that give anybody a word of encouragement tonight? a word of faith tonight. Arise and shine. Amen. Don't get your head down. Don't go down in a pit somewhere. Amen. It's time to stand up and rise up again. Praise God. The righteous will fall seven times, but he will always get back up again. You know why? Because he knows the word of God. He knows what God has said, and he trusts in what God said, and he just gets back up again. For the darkness, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. Amen. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. That seems like that's where we're at today. And gross darkness, the people. We are seeing gross darkness around us. We are seeing perversion that the scriptures don't even record. Amen. We are seeing things in our generation today that are vile. They're ungodly. It's really beyond the pale. Amen. And it's easy to become, to be overcome by the darkness. Amen. It is easy to say that the darkness has overwhelmed me. But hear me tonight. There is more than darkness in the world. God said, let there be a division between the light and the darkness. That's what he said. Let there be a division between the light and the darkness. And let the light rule the day and the darkness rule the night. Amen. Satan is the spirit of the night. God is the spirit of light of the day. We are children of light. We are not of the darkness, but we are of the daytime. I'm living in daylight in the midst of a world that is pitch black dark. And wherever I go, I'm the light of the world. I'm shining in a dark place. Oh, praise God. Praise God. I feel like shouting tonight. Amen. I'm not alone. I've got the Lord on my side and the Word of God on my side. Gross darkness is going to be upon the earth and upon the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Amen. Arise and shine. Amen. It's time to arise and shine. When we come together, there is light here. Praise God. But you go outside the door of this church, and there is gross darkness. Yes, in Augusta, Kansas, in Andover, Kansas, Rose Hill, wherever you live, East Wichita, there is gross darkness. Gross darkness. Amen. Oh, yes. But I'm telling you what, when we come together, there is nothing like this in all of the world. I thank God for the Word of God. I was doing a little bit of reading in about China and how that China, there is an explosion of the Christian faith, not just apostolic, but there is an explosion of the Christian faith. And one article that I read, there was a man that went to preach in a secret church. And in one church, they had church in a cave because they couldn't go anywhere else. The other, it was in a building in a village that was very remote, and they could do it without fear of being detected. And they asked the preacher, I believe he was from America, maybe he wasn't, but he was, not from China. And they said, would you come and preach for us? We would like for you to preach from 8:30 in the morning till 7 o'clock at night for us. And he said, okay, when do you want to take a break? They said, oh, we don't want to take a break. You just go ahead and do the whole thing at once. And he said, well, I'll try. And they said, sir, if we could just have your kindness upon us, we would like for you to come the next day and preach from 8:30 till 7 o'clock at night for us. because we need the Word of God. They didn't have any Bibles. They didn't have anything to preach from. He said, well, what do you want me to preach? They said, we want you to preach it all. Amen. Amen. Whew. My, my, my. Praise God. And so he said, well, all right. And they said, if we could just press upon you one more time for your kindness, could you come the day after that day and preach from 8:30 till 7, because we need to hear the Word of God. Oh, help us, Lord. Amen. We don't need little sermonettes. Amen. We don't need little 20-minute sermons. But I'm not going to preach from 8:30 till 7 either. Praise God. The mind can only retain as much as the seat can endure. Well, praise the Lord. We're Americans. Amen. I guess it's a little different over here. But I would love just once to go to something like that and to see the intense hunger and thirst for the things of God. Right in the middle of communist China. Amen. Right in the middle of communist Russia. Right in the middle of gross darkness, there are people that are thriving, that love God with all of their heart. They don't have to have a text from the pastor, we missed you. Amen. They don't have to have a word of encouragement all the time to be faithful to the house of God. They understand where they're at. Oh God, help us to understand where we are. We're in gross darkness in our generation. We've got to have the light. Arise and shine in me, Lord. Arise and shine in the church. Praise God. And let the glory of the Lord be revealed. Well, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're seeing and hearing an awful lot today about what our president is doing and the economy and all of the things that's going on there in our nation's capital. And they're talking about all the drugs that are coming over the border and how we're going to stop all of the drugs. And certainly I agree with that. I think that we need to have security in our country. But nobody is addressing the real issue of America. And many preachers are not preaching about the real need of our country. Why are there 75,000 people that die from fentanyl, from drugs every year, more than died in the entire Vietnam War? Why are there so many? Well, we're blaming it on China. We're blaming it on the southern border. We're blaming it on drug dealers. But the big question that needs to be asked is, why are there so many people getting on the drugs? If there's no need for something, you're not going to sell it. Amen. The reason we're selling it is because there is an emptiness in the heart of America. There is an, oh God, help us tonight. There is an emptiness in the heart of our cities around us. In the hearts of your neighbors, there's an emptiness. Praise God. And I'm telling you, nobody's addressing the real issue of our country. Amen. It's not going to be fixed. Amen. It's not going to be fixed as long as we have charismatic men, preachers, who will not stand up and preach the whole gospel. Amen. I'm not talking about being rude and crude, but I'm talking about saying we've got to give our lives to God or we're headed down. Amen. The darkness is going to overcome us if we don't give our lives to God. It's still the same message. It'll always be the same message. Amen. And sometimes we feel like Noah building that big boat and nobody's paying attention. We go out on outreach and they don't show up because they're having fun doing this, that, or the other. Apathy, darkness has overcome America. Amen. But I'm telling you what, the Lord, everybody said the Lord, the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles, any Gentiles here tonight? And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. When trouble comes in like a flood, we've got to be able to see what's going on. Amen. We've got to be able to understand what's going on in the enemy's camp. Praise God. Darkness and confusion will prevail. But here tonight, we are sitting in the light. There's no reason that any of these young men on the front row should get involved in immorality. There's no reason that any of you young men should ever get involved in sin and go away from God and the church. There's no reason whatsoever. Do you know where you're sitting tonight? All of you young men, you're sitting in the light. Tessa, you're sitting in the light tonight. Matthew, Daniel, Isaiah, everybody that's here tonight, there is no reason that we should walk out the door from the light and go into the darkness. It's just darkness. There's nothing that's going to bless you. Oh God, help us here tonight. Amen. We need to see where we are. We need to know where we are. Amen. Praise God. I tell you what, can I just preach just a moment here tonight? Amen. There's no good girl out there in the world. Amen. The good ones are in the church. You say, well, I know a few duds. Well, there's a dud everywhere. Amen. And we're just living in that generation today. But it's a whole lot better than going out and marrying someone that believes that abortion is all right, that believes that homosexuality is all right. Just because she's pretty and just because she entices you, amen, you got to understand, amen, that we are in the light tonight, and that is the darkness, amen, amen. God help us. The Gentiles are going to come to the light, and it's amazing to me that some are going out of the light as some are coming into the light. Praise God. Well, praise God. I know this morning I was having trouble with my voice, and it wasn't so dramatic and dynamic, but there was a young lady that was here this morning, and I don't know anything about her situation. I'm not going to go into that at all. I don't know anything, but we were here, and it was another Sunday morning service, amen, just another Sunday morning message, but there was a Gentile in this place. And she would drop her head, and I could tell. I told her afterward, I said, I felt like the Lord was just pointing a finger at you this morning. And I went back and talked to her, and I said, you knew I was coming back here, didn't you? She smiled and said, yes. And I began to talk to her about her life. I don't know anything about this young lady, but all of a sudden she began to sob, and tears rolled down her face. Amen. She's trying to come to the light, while the rest of us just take for granted the light. Amen. We take for granted electricity until it's turned off. God help us never to turn off the light in the church. Amen. We got to keep the generator going. Amen. We've got to keep the power source going. Amen. Because it produces the light that we have tonight. Our children need to see the light. Come on, mom and dad. Praise God, your neighbor needs to see the light. Your brother and your sister in the Lord needs to see the light. Amen. Arise and shine upon us, God, for we need your help. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. From the firstborn of Pharaoh, everybody said Pharaoh. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat upon his throne unto the firstborn of the captive, everybody that was in jail, firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. But before he did that, it tells us in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 21, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. It can be felt. Have you ever walked into a place and felt darkness?
Amen.
Brother Mike's nodding his head. You haven't been in the church that long, but you can feel it, can't you? You know why? Because you're getting used to the light. And when you step into the darkness, you notice it more. But if you've been in darkness for a long time, it's just business as usual.
Amen.
There's nothing different about this. But if you have the Holy Ghost and you are in the light as He is in the light, amen. You walk into an office or you walk into a place and all of a sudden you can feel that darkness pressing upon you. Amen. The world doesn't understand what they are feeling. They don't understand it. They can't see that they are in the darkness. But they're constantly making mistakes. They're constantly tripping up over troubles and situations that arise in their life simply because they're walking in darkness. Amen. And so He brought darkness. But if you read on, you'll find that in the homes of the children of Israel, there was light. There was light, praise God, right in the big middle of troubles and trials and situations, God gave His people light, amen. While the firstborn of every cattle, the firstborn of everyone that was in the dungeon, the firstborn of all that was in the land of Egypt, even the firstborn of Pharaoh died that night. Showing us that Pharaoh's power is small. Amen. Well, praise God. Our president is the most powerful man in the world. Amen. But his power does not even compare to God's power. God's big, folks. He made the universe. I don't put my trust in a man. I don't put my hope in a man. I'm voting when it's my opportunity to vote, but let them have it after that's over with. I can't do anything about it but pray. And that's not to put prayer down. Amen. But there is gross darkness upon our world. There are sins that are taking place tonight that would horrify you. The reason we have trafficking of people is because there are people that want to be involved in that. There are people that want to use that for their own selfish pleasures. Amen. It's not so much a border security. Amen. It's a spiritual security of America. And what do we need? We need a wall. Amen. Somebody's got it figured out. We need a wall. Amen. Thank God for the walls around the city. Praise God. Thank God for the bulwarks, the towers, amen, the strong place, so that when the enemy comes, he cannot come through that wall. Mom and Dad are going to put walls in your life. And they're going to say, don't do this. If you don't listen, you're foolish because you're outside of the wall of safety. Amen. That's why we preach holiness. That's why we preach separation from the world. Amen. We got to have a wall of truth. Amen. I said a wall of truth, and the enemy cannot penetrate that wall. He cannot get to the other side of that wall. Amen. We're safe in the city of light. Praise God. Thank God for holiness tonight. Thank God for truth tonight. Thank God for light that will lighten our pathway and help us in time of need. Praise God. Oh, it's after 7 o'clock. Well, I didn't start at 8:30 either. Amen. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 25, the rain descended. Everybody said the rain descended. And the floods came. The floods came. And this was for the one that was on the rock, and this is the one that was on the sand. And it beat upon the house. Everybody said it beat upon the house. What that simply means is there was a crashing. Seems like it's never going to end. While it's crashing against the house, you look out the window and it's still just pouring as hard as it can pour. I've never been in a flood. Not the kind of flood. I remember as a kid it flooded and it came over the railroad tracks south of town where we lived. And we thought it was great. We went out splashing around in the water. That was what we called a flood. But a real flood is a raging thing. If you've ever seen a picture of those canyons in the mountains, and it rains up in the mountains. Brother Johnson told the story years and years ago that there were some people up in the mountains, and they were camping and hiking up there. They were in one of the valleys, which is the easiest way to get to the mountaintop is through the valley, and there was a storm up in the mountains, a big storm, and park rangers and officials went out to where these people were at, and they were shouting at them, and they were saying, "Get out of here, the flood is coming, get out of here." But where they were at, it was blue sky. Where they were at, there was no storm clouds, there was no lightning, there was no thunder, there was nothing that was beating upon them. And they laughed off the warning, and they said, "Oh, it's blue sky, there's not going to be any calamity." What they were doing was building their life upon the sand. And before they knew it, they felt a cold rush of air as it came down the canyon that was being pushed by the gigantic wave. And it was carrying boulders, and it was carrying trees, and it was carrying all sorts of debris in it, and it swept them away, and most of them died in that flash flood. The winds are going to blow upon your house. Temptations are going to come your way. Amen. People are going to come into your life that'll say, "Come on with me, let's have a good time." Amen. It will beat upon your house, but the wise man is going to have dug deep and anchored his house to the rock. Praise God. Going to take the time to get right with God. Take the time to dig deep and understand where I'm at in God, where I'm at in my relationship with God. Amen. I'm not going to go by my feelings anymore. My goal in life is not to have all this fun and entertainment. Amen. My goal in life is to go to heaven. Praise God. I want to be right with God, and I want to make it all the way to the very end. Praise God. I was just 19 years old when I gave my life to God, and I applied for a job at a glass company. They sold glass, and I was going to be the guy that actually was selling the glass and learning the business. And the man was looking at me like he was an older gentleman, and he was wanting somebody that could really get in there and do it. It was a real opportunity, and I was going to get the job, and I turned it down. But, and that might have been a bad mistake, but I turned it down. You know, we make mistakes when we're young. Amen. And he said, "What is the goal of your life?" He was interviewing me. That was back in the day when you filled out an application and they actually interviewed you. Amen. Old-fashioned stuff. Some of you don't know anything about that. But I filled out the application with a pen or a pencil, handed it to him, and we did the interview. And he said, what is your highest goal in life?" He was trying to find out where I was coming from. And I said, "My biggest goal in life is I want to go to heaven." Amen. Praise God. He smiled and he said, "Well, yeah, I understand that, but what do you really want to do in life?" And I said, "I want to go to heaven." It kind of took him back. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to think about that answer. But it was burning in my heart. I want to be saved. I want to do the will of God in my life. You say, "Well, Pastor, that's just you. I've got a different path." Amen. I was talking to a young lady, it's been many years ago now, and I said, "Why don't you give your life to God?" She had left the church, grew up in the church. I said, "Why don't you give your life to God and live for God?" And she looked at me and said, "I've got another way." Amen. I've got another way. And today her life is trashed out. Amen. On her way to a devil's hell without God. On her way to the darkest of darkest. Amen. Walking out of the light into the darkness. I don't know why I'm preaching like this. It's not really in my notes at all. But young person, you got to give your life to God. Listen to the man that's shouting, there's a flood coming. Amen. Listen to the voices that are higher than you. Amen. That can see the storm and understand what's about to happen. Amen. Our world is about to head into a great storm. Amen. But I'm not worried about it because I'm in the light tonight. Hallelujah. I'm standing in the light. Praise God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, that's my goal right there. King Cyrus, I've got to check this out, and some of you may already know the answer to this. But I heard through some of my reading and so forth that King Cyrus that decreed that the Jews could go back to Israel and build their temple, that it was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah 140 some odd years before he actually did it, and it named him by name. I've got to look into that, and I don't doubt that at all, because there are other prophecies that name people by name hundreds of years before they ever come onto the scene. But Cyrus grew up and he saw the prophecy in Isaiah that in 70 years the children of Israel would be able to go back. Cyrus was the king of Babylon, and he made a decree 70 years to the day, amen, that they could go back to their homeland and rebuild the temple. Praise God. It's exciting, isn't it? Amen. It's exciting. God said, I'll let you build a temple. Just go ahead and build a temple to me. And here we are in a temple tonight. It was an old rundown building, and God said, go ahead and make a temple out of it. But that doesn't mean that all of a sudden trucks show up with lumber and supplies. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden the paint shop brings buckets and buckets of paint and said, we'll come and help you and we'll assist you in this effort. No, I've got a decree from the king tonight that I can do it. I just need to go and do it. Praise God. I just need to step out by faith and believe God and say, I believe the Lord is able to do this. You believe God's able to do that tonight? Amen. I do. I believe it with all of my heart. And Zerubbabel, kind of a funny name, he was commissioned to rebuild it by Cyrus. And so Zerubbabel, he goes and he starts the work. And you can look at different instances and so forth. But he goes to start the work. And after Cyrus decrees that they can go back, Cyrus dies. His son comes into his place. And some people in Israel, they've already started laying the foundation. They got the foundation laid. Things are starting to progress this way, that way. It's looking good. I think it's going to work. We're going to put this thing together. We're going to build a temple for God. And some people came that opposed it. Can you believe that tonight? Go ahead and try to live for God. You're going to find something opposing you. They opposed it, and they sent letters to the Cyrus's son, the king, I forget his name, and they sent letters to him, and the king, not really having discernment, got upset because of the letter, and he wrote a letter back and said, I command you to cease building the temple, and it was official, it was the law, and so all of a sudden, they had to stop. And they couldn't go any further because the king supplied them with their money. He supplied them with everything. And when the king said no more, then that was the law of the land in that day. But Zechariah prophesies, and he says this, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. I know you've probably been there a number of times. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? So here's Zechariah, he's asleep. an angel comes and wakes him up. And he said, what do you see? He said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl on the top of it and his seven lamps thereon and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. Amen. So there was a bowl, there was a shaft and a bowl, and out of that bowl, seven pipes. And at the top of those pipes were dishes where the light was burning. It was the golden candlestick that was in the temple, is what he saw. So I answered, and on the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked to me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me answered and said, knowest not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. But I believe tonight it's more than just a word to Zerubbabel. It's a word to us. Praise God. It is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, who had been stopped from his work because of the laws of the land, before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying grace, grace unto it. Anybody getting what I'm preaching? I'm going to finish here in just a minute. But I'm telling you what, there was an olive tree on the right side, and there was an olive tree on the left side. And it was the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, the man who was commissioned to build a church, the man who was commissioned to rebuild a temple for God and start it all over again and get it back to its former glory, and let the light of that shine to the Gentiles. That was Zerubbabel on the left side. I believe that was a representation of the Old Testament church. But it wasn't just one olive tree on the left side. There was an olive tree on the right side. Praise God. And I believe that's a representation of the New Testament church. Amen. Because John heard a voice behind him, and when he turned and looked like he was waked out of sleep, he saw a golden candlestick with seven golden candlesticks on the top, and there was one in the midst of it. Amen. And he said the candlesticks represent the churches. Don't tell me it's just New Testament. It's Old Testament as well. And guess what? Zerubbabel finished that temple and built that temple because God was with him. I say tonight, arise and shine among us, Lord. Let your light be seen among the people. Amen. And let's build a house for God. Come on, let's stand together tonight. Hallelujah. It's for them. It was for them. But don't ever get the idea that anything you do in life is going to be easy. Don't ever get that idea. Because before long, you'll be walking in the darkness saying, it can't be done. It can't be done. I can't do it. But I don't find anywhere in the Bible where it says, I can't. But it says, I can. Because I'm covered with the canopy of the blood. I've got the light of the Word of God inside of me. I've got the power of the Holy Ghost inside of me. I am not cast down. I am lifted up. Praise God. I am not just a member of a church on a corner somewhere, but I am in a big, big, big kingdom. Amen. And I serve a big, big, big King who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it doesn't matter, folks, if we end up worshiping in a cave somewhere. It doesn't matter if everything is stripped away from us and the government says you can't worship and you can't serve God. You know what I say? I'm just going to talk in tongues right in their face. Amen. Go ahead, devil. Praise God. Go ahead, devil. One man in the early days of the church, in the latter days here in the early 1900s, he was a Baptist preacher. They didn't preach about the Holy Ghost. But somebody began to talk to this man. I forget his name. I forget an awful lot lately. Amen. Sometimes that's good and sometimes that's not good. Somebody spoke to him about the Holy Ghost and he prayed and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. But his religious organization didn't believe in that. And so they called him before their board, and the board was comprised of his friends. And they said, "We've heard that you are doing this. You have spoken in tongues as the Spirit of God," or not as the Spirit of God, but "you've spoken in tongues and you do speak in tongues." He said, "Yes." And they said, "Well, we don't believe that." He tried to convince them. And one of them spoke up in a cocky, haughty attitude. And he said, "Well, why don't you speak in tongues for us?" And he said, "Well, I can't do that. That's not the way it works." And they derided him, put him down. And he said, all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in that business meeting. And he began to speak in other tongues. Only God knows what he said. But the story goes that the man who made fun of him and said, "Well, speak in tongues for us," 30 days later contracted a fatal disease and was dead. 30 days later. Listen, it doesn't matter how many men get together and say it won't work. Doesn't matter how many voices are speaking and saying, "It's over with. It's done. It's over." I'm telling you tonight. Praise God. Anybody getting a hold of this tonight? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I've got light inside of me. And wherever I go, I know it's gross darkness. And I'm going to battle. The warfare is right there every day. We fight against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. You're never going to get away from that. Amen. Not until the rapture takes place. But it doesn't mean that we are overcome. Amen. It's simply an example of how much we are overcomers. Because when you come in and all of a sudden people go, psh, 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 look at how they're dressed. Oh, yeah, they go to that church over there. Oh, that church. Oh, where they speak in tongues. Over there. You know why they're doing that? Because they are seeing a light. They're in the darkness, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, going to work and all the lights are off, and you come in and you light up the whole place. They're going to look at you and say, "That's different. Never seen that before." But I'm telling you, don't be intimidated tonight. Don't be intimidated in the least tonight. Because Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." You are the light of the world. I'm a light. I'm a sower, but I'm a light. And wherever I go, light shines from me. It's not me, it's God in me. Amen. And people can criticize and whatever, but they're not going to be able to condemn. That's right. They can accuse, but that doesn't mean that it's true. Right. Somebody said, "Praise the Lord." Amen. God is in control. I said, God is in control. Do you serve a big God tonight? Can we just love him for a moment? Can we just thank him for the light? Thank him for the word, a sure word of prophecy. I'm in one of those olive trees, and I'm right there in the midst of the golden candlesticks, right in the midst of the light that's shining. Praise God. Come on, lift your voice tonight. Lift your voice tonight. There may not be many of us here, but brothers and sisters, we're shining a light right now that the demons are running from. It's the brightest light they've ever seen. They can't stand this kind of preaching. They can't stand this kind of preaching because it exposes them in their darkness. Men love darkness rather than the light. And they cannot comprehend. But thank God we have comprehended. We have comprehended. We have come to the light that our deeds may be made manifest. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise together. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him God's in control. God's in control. Amen. The reason I felt like there was healing that took place in the altar here tonight during the song service. We've had a lot of people receive the Holy Ghost in the song service. You know how unusual that is? There are not a lot of places where that happens. Amen. But thank God it happens here. We got God here. We're blessed tonight. You're blessed tonight. Don't look at the darkness. Don't look in the corners to see if there's a shadow or darkness. Let's rejoice in the light. Amen. Came in here the other night and I didn't think anybody was here. It was pitch black and there were some folks in here praying. Amen. The Pope of the church. Praise God. They were in here praying. I went over and turned on a couple lights. Well, praise the Lord. I love you, Doug and Rapity. Amen. I'm excited for you. Praise God. He's doing a good work over there at the nursing home, teaching Bible studies. Excited about it. We need to be excited about light. Excited about truth. Excited about being a light to our world. And guess what? His mother and his grandmother showed up. Were they here this Saturday as well? Your mother's been there two times now. And they've had trouble in their church, and you know, we won't go into all those details, but she's not going to church right now, and now twice in the Bible study. Amen. I'm just believing that God's going to save his mother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't turn the light off, friend. Don't turn the light off. Be like Motel 6, we'll keep the light on for you. If you want to play around out in the darkness, we'll just keep the light on. Somebody came back one time, I forget her name, young girl that prayed through, I believe she prayed through in a Bible study, Vita. And she came to church, it had been years later, she got involved in sin, and she came back and she said, I just wanted to see if you guys were still here. We kept the light on for you. I'm going to be here. Praise God. This isn't a fancy thing. This isn't, you know, flash in the pan. This isn't something that we're just trying for a little while and then we're going to give up on it. If it's that way with you, you got problems. Amen. Because this is the greatest thing in all of the world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.